Today's reading is Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good. Not even one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. As usual, to finish off the week, we're looking at a psalm together, and today's is Psalm 14. The first part of the psalm has a pretty negative and bleak tone, because the focus is on the fool. From the beginning of the psalm, the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." That's pretty much the definition of what a fool is in the Bible. The fool says, "There is no God." Throughout the Psalms, Proverbs, and going into the New Testament with Jesus' parables, such as the one about the rich fool, the fool is the one who chooses to believe that God does not exist. Foolishness isn't defined by IQ or money or how well somebody knows the laws. The Bible's definition is different than the world's definition. The Bible's definition of a fool, once more, is that it's the one who lives ignoring the reality of God. Naturally, because the fool says in his heart that there is no God, that disbelief in God influences his whole lifestyle. From this passage, they are corrupt, they do abominable deeds, there is none who does good. Without God involved and without God's standards of right and wrong, the fool would just do what is right in his own eyes. And because of sin, that means corruption and abominable deeds. Even what may on the surface may appear to be good, in the end will fall short of God's standards if God isn't invited to be a part of that deed. Skipping ahead to verse 3, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. If this sounds familiar to you, it's because Paul actually quotes this in Romans chapter 3 in the New Testament. Paul very systematically writes Romans to show that everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, everybody has this inner problem of sin, where we do things that dishonor God and even our thoughts are not right before God. From this same chapter, after Paul quotes this psalm, he also writes in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That very powerfully and succinctly captures our sin nature, where we all fall short of the glory of God. Thankfully, though, we know that's not how the story ends. In the following verse, he says, "We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." God has offered every person the gift of his grace, to be made right by the work of Jesus on the cross. To reject this gift would be foolishness. Going back to the psalm from verse 4, the psalmist, who by the way is David, he writes, "Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord?" For the fools, they eat up the people like bread, meaning they take advantage of and have no mercy on others. And it's as natural for them as eating bread. From verse 6, they would shame the plans of the poor. They don't care about the poor, and why should they if they do not think there is a God who will judge them for it? As I mentioned before, it's all pretty negative and bleak when we talk about the fool and how they treat others. But verse 5 provides a turning point in the psalm, where the focus shifts from the fool towards God. Versailles reads, "There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous." The fools and evildoers are in great terror. They are in trouble because God is present. God is with the generation of the righteous. The reality is that God does exist, and he intervenes on the earth. In verse 6, God is the refuge for the poor. The picture is that in the midst of a battle where the enemies are close by, the poor can take shelter and safety in God, because he will protect them. The oppressors may not realize it, because it's a spiritual truth. The psalm finishes with this longing for God. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortune of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. The psalmist expresses his deep desire for God to save. He's saying, God, won't you do this? And when you do, which you will, we will be glad and we will be satisfied. This reminds me of the Beatitudes where Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Today, I invite you to read over the psalm a couple times again, and let's pray through this psalm and have the same longing for God's presence in our lives. We recognize that all of us at one point were fools, in that we did not know God, and we lived as though he didn't exist. But hopefully for all of us, as Romans 3:24 says, we are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we have this completely new worldview and way to live now. Let's keep taking refuge in God, trusting in him, and just seeking out more of his presence. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that, God, though once we were all fools, Lord, you sent your son to save us, God, to show us to show us the way to you and make a way to you. So, Lord, today we ask for a filling of your spirit once again, God, just like we read about in the beginning of this week about new wineskins for new wine, Lord. We pray that you would continually fill us and help us to know your presence more and more and live for you more and more. God, may we recognize how you're moving, and Lord, may we do the wise thing to keep responding to you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.